Robert Love, I love you.
I don't know, brilliant. His name's even Love, you know, it's quite convenient.
Okay, welcome to episode 5 of Look Radio. Here we are again. I'm sat in a room with one more person this week. In addition to Matthew Ravel.
Hello, episode 5.
Episode 5, and we've got Stuart at Aquarius Langridge.
All right.
And we've got Stephen Parks. Sparks.
Hi.
We've also got Adam Sweet, who's a guest here.
How so, you doing?
All right, that's it. Now, if you hear any movement of the mic, that's Sparks pushing in Adam's general direction, I was going to say. Okay, so here we are again, and once again we've had a brilliant 2 weeks, lots of activity on the forums and all that kind of whatnot, so we're going to do a bit of thanking,
yep,
shall we?
Yep, we will do some thanking.
In a very masturbatory way, we'll...
Hellos, yeah, he's back-slapping
me. What, you're getting wanked, Sevies? What's going on?
All right, here we go.
Why do you think there's 100 people on the forums, you know? He's got fucking 10 fingers in 2 weeks.
We're already on to masturbation, okay. Right, so the first person that joined since the last time was user number 64, and that was Simon B, who's in the look, isn't he?
Now, I've checked, third shelf, aisle 12, is not there.
You actually checked?
He's listed his location as third shelf, aisle 12.
Asda, Wolverhampton, UK.
That's just magazines, isn't it?
That doesn't surprise me in a fucking slightest.
Electrical stuff and, frozen stuff and all that.
Well, after that, we've got Father Perth, who's made a few posts.
And recommended Speaks, thank you very much.
Right, we've got Big Kev...
who we mentioned last week, so we shamed him into joining.
We like Big Kev from...
Oh, that's actually Big Kev?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, Big Kev.
The name gives it away.
Fuck off. We've got to talk about a Big Kev rather than the Big Kev.
Then we've got Adam.
Be small Kev.
He's an Adam imposter, not the real Adam. and he's made no posts. There's a lot of people that are, like, joining the forum and not posting.
There's just a link to his website, though.
You don't get,
click
like
on the link to his website, see who he is.
But it's just to be, you know, goat close checks to the greatness that is...
Let's have a look at his
Matt
website.
Ravel.
Moosoft
simplifying Linux.
Moosoft.
He wants to simplify Linux, so he's listening to Lug Radio. I admire the man's spirit and shit.
Right, after that we've got Jumbo Jimbo.
That's
like
a great name.
Jumbo Jimbo.
Obviously got a good self-opinion of himself there.
Jumbo Jimbo Jimbo Jambo.
See, it could be Jumbo Limbo, which would be worse.
then we've got Stir Linux, who again has not posted anything, and he lives in... Illinois. Or as they say in America, Illinois. We've got
Judland. How many have got Qatar?
We got Judland, who lives in Saskatchewan, in Canada.
Canada, I think.
That sounds about
Canada, yeah.
Right, Falk Dragon. So close to Talc Dragon.
What does that mean?
What would be the point? Or Falk Dragon.
Falk's
Dragon. Pickle.
Hang on, before we know, what's his name, Dragon?
Falk's Dragon.
And then he said to him, bad man at Purblock then.
He'd be fucking immortalised as Falk's Dragon from now on the pulse off.
From New Zealand, so, you know.
Does he say fush and chops? And does he say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
The first one was a Glaswegian.
This is girlfriend say bar. Or does she work in one?
What?
Does his girlfriend say bar? Or does she work in one?
Let's not cast aspersions on New Zealand. They created good films.
Did they?
Pickle.
No, well, no, they didn't.
Fantastic.
Okay, Ray, 223. We've got old Dan.
Hey, we know Dan.
Who will feature in one of the shows that we're recording at the Expo next week.
So we will, yeah. We've got Davey. Eliomira.
Eliomira.
Lord Hatress. James Graham. Leon
Pmu.
That's the last
one.
Who is
all the way from Mauritius.
He's the Mauritius guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he the one who slagged us off about the sound balancing?
Yeah, yeah.
He's delicious in Mauritius.
We're trying to improve the sound balancing.
No, he's from Mauritius.
He says, from South Africa.
Hello, mate. I come from South Africa.
South Africa.
Dangerous territory.
Do you know something?
Yeah,
I don't know anything.
In Afrikaans, if you write something like, what is my pen, is it in my hand, or something like that, it's exactly the same as you would write it in English.
What?
It's all right. We'll move on.
Fucking welcome to fun fucking facts from Matt Revel.
I think they've got an extra arm, bastard, haven't they?
Yeah. There's a one from South Africa in our karate thing, and she sounds really cool. I wish I was South African.
This year. Hi-ya.
Hello, I'm South African.
My boss is South African.
Really?
Yeah. The guy who sits next to me at work, South African.
My God.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
Do you know someone South African, Ed?
I'm going to visit somebody South African tomorrow.
That is mad. Are any of them nice? Because I've never met a long South African.
Shut up! All right, just for non-English, for non-British listeners, that's an old song that was in a B-side of a song.
Of the Chicken Song.
And apart from anything,
well,
Sparks' views do not represent the views of Lug Radio.
So anyway, thanks everyone for posting stuff.
We have to say that after everything he says.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks everyone for posting.
Sparks may go down as well as up.
You are listening to Lug Radio.
You've probably seen in the news lately news about
Google. It's news in the news.
It's the news.
Amazing.
Let's start that again. No, basically, you've probably seen in the news recently about Google's new email service, Gmail. What was it? Thanks very much.
Go on, say something like silence for the edit there.
Can I have some accompaniment then? Gmail is coming from Google soon, and essentially what it is a souped-up Hotmail.
Yes.
But it's going to use all of Google's zapped-up features, such as they'll scan all your emails to advertise at you.
Yes.
So it's basically going to have Google AdWords, but for your email. So, you know, I've read people saying things like, well, that's not too bad, because they tell you up front and all this. You assume that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I first saw the thing about this on Slashdot, I think it was, and it was on April the 1st when they announced it, and they said that there was a gigabyte of storage. Is that actually real?
That's real.
That's what they've consistently said, a gigabyte of storage.
Yep. They're doing that so they can keep your past emails, so they can target better towards you.
Yeah, that's what I was about to come on to. The real issue that I have with Gmail is not so much that they're going to be scanning through your emails with a computer to advertise at you, because you don't get anything for free. If you want something if you want totally private email, then get your own bloody server. So,
And only send email to people that you know.
And PGP encrypt all of it.
Yeah.
Or GPG encrypt
and
all
live
of
in
it,
the
sorry.
Hole. The issue that I've actually got with Gmail is that once you delete a message, they won't guarantee that message will go away. They'll stop you from accessing it.
Really?
But they'll keep it. They'll keep it on their backups, and so on. So, and also, they won't guarantee that they're not going to link your emails with your search requests, so that they can better advertise at you when you're searching for things. And the reason that I want to mention this is because, I mean, there's been plenty of discussion of all this on the Register, on Slashdot, on NewsForge, on everything.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask you guys is Google evil?
I think Google's great.
What's that thing that Google do to link friends? With different...
Or cut.
If you read the terms and conditions to that, that's far more evil than Gmail.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just clicked on accept.
Yeah, you obviously didn't read them. If you'd read them, you definitely wouldn't have clicked accept.
They claim kind of copyright every idea you have that you might post in there?
Yeah. I don't think Google are evil. I think Google are pervasive, and I think Google are a business. And everyone thought they were this kind of, you know, free love, happy fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, they did this thing, and they were brilliant. And because they were technically good, and so they started to win. They built a better mousetrap. You know, they didn't win everyone's hearts and minds through better advertising or through throwing loads of money at the problem. They won it through being the best search engine. Everyone was dead pleased. But they're a business, and they're there to earn money.
Of course they're a business, but...
You know, so everyone's like, oh, no, hang on, that's no good, because we thought they were just like completely on our side, but instead they're going to steal our information, use it to target better adverts at us. But yeah, same thing as loyalty cards.
So what's all the big fuss then in all the open source and free software press about it? Or why is everyone so fussed?
I think because it's Google. If Microsoft didn't, no one would bat an eyelid. Well, Microsoft, you know, evil empire, blah blah blah. If I don't know, pick a firm. If Sun did it. No one would bat an eyelid. If Asda did it, no one would bat an eyelid. But everyone's like, oh no, Google, they're on our side, because they're just like a couple of hackers.
No, but
this
has gone beyond just our circle of people. This has been reported in the BBC. There's some Californian senator trying to bring a bill against it. I mean,
let's just put the service somewhere else, don't they?
That's just typical fucking American overreaction, though, that.
Right.
Well, how can California... Axe
views do not represent the views of Lug Radio.
No. I don't mean it's overreaction that's typical of Americans. I mean, it's typical of an American overreaction. Very, very important.
That was a very political response, though, wasn't it?
How can California... Let's remember who the governor of California is, right?
Hang on. In order to remember, I had to have known in the first place.
That's honest. Well,
that's California. Is it? I knew
you
he was
are a
was
complete
somewhere.
And utter muppet.
But you know,
it pretends
this
to be
this
intelligent.
California, they've got no fucking.
They'll just move it to Saskatchewan for Judland to run.
Eh?
They'll just move it to Saskatchewan to sit next to Judland.
Well, you only said that just so you prove that you can say it in John O'Carr.
That's quite cool, because in the winter, I wouldn't need air conditioning in the computer rooms. So just open the windows. Computers would be really cool.
I think Google are just. They're just pervasive. I mean, they've done well because they're the best. And so they're getting their, you know, their tendrils into all sorts of different things. So you've got search and you've got things like email now and so on. And they're starting to track people.
But it seems like the issue here is, I mean, I don't know a lot about this case. I've learned something from you now, Matt. But the thing is that if it's a case whereby they can have complete control over your email... That seems to be the issue that people are a bit unsure about. But the question I have is, what could they do with it reasonably, pragmatically? What could they do with it that would be rather unsavoury?
Well, legally in Europe, they can't do anything with it, because apparently it's contrary to the European Union data protection laws.
Right.
An individual should be able to have control of all their own personal communications, which clearly if Google are going to keep that stuff, then they're not going to have control of it. But I don't really know what they could do with it beyond advertising at you better. Because the more email of yours
sending it to your new wife instead of your old one.
Mm.
But on the other hand, you only need to be the one guy where they go, oh, geez, we're terribly sorry we sent it to the wrong guy. And you go, well, I've just been fired. Fucking hell.
The business case for keeping it, though, is that the bigger pool of emails that they've got to learn about you from, the better they can advertise at you. Now, I've seen some people saying, the Californian senator said, it's like them sticking a billboard in your living room. And other people say, no, it's not. It's going to be targeted. It's going to be really good advertising, you know, if such a thing exists. But so I don't think it's inherently bad.
You can still ignore targeted advertising, just like you can ignore the badly misguided Hotmail.
If you look at Hotmail pop-ups, you've got things like, if you look at Eudora, for example. Eudora comes in light, sponsored, and paid-for mode. And light mode's got a load of crap turned off. Mm. Sponsored mode is the same as paid-for mode. It's got everything turned on, but they put adverts in the corner. Opera, the browser, supports itself with advertising in the corner.
And in IncrediMail, they claim to own everything you write,
And they're not even offering targeted adverts. They're just offering adverts. So if you're going to get offered adverts, if you're prepared to be offered adverts in order to get a good service, then there might as well be ones that you're going to be interested in.
The thing is, everyone's learned to be banner blind anyway.
Exactly. Plus, I mean, that's why Google have got the text words in the first place. But if you don't like it, don't fucking use Gmail. It's like, if you don't like the fact that the supermarkets are going to track what it is you buy, don't get a loyalty card.
Okay, now we've got some questions from the nice people on the forums. Jono, please don't do that when you talk about people from the forums. If Ackle finishes prawn crackers...
So I'm trying to really quietly eat prawn cracker. It's not working very well.
Some questions from the forums. I can't actually see the monitor from here, so I can't read them. Jono's going to have to read
them. Yeah, Jono's going
to
read them.
I always have to read them out anyway.
As long as you don't cut off his index finger.
First question is from Matt. Your idea is appreciated, as always.
that's not even a question.
I know. I was japing you all.
Oh, you card.
Right, okay.
I think Wankstein was the word.
Right, okay. Right, first question. And we'll have a relatively short answer, because this is a massive topic. This is from Head to Ball. Are programming languages found on Linux, i.e. Perl, Python, etc., inferior to the likes of Microsoft's .NET in terms of sophistication, or soapy histication? Sure, there's Java, which would be equally as good as .NET, give or take an inch either way. But many argue that it isn't really free as in software. So what do we think?
I think, first of all, anyone who thinks that Java's loads good is definitely fucking prepared to take an inch, or possibly take six fucking inches.
The problem is they're going to take it an inch to the side, so that could be really painful.
Right. Sorry, okay. How was the question phrased?
Are Linux things as good?
I think Linux things are pretty much... yeah, I don't see any difference really
There's a problem with the question. It says like, languages like .NET and .NET's like an environment type thing rather than a language. Yeah. And .NET will be available for open source languages.
Well, but it depends on what you think .NET is. You know, whether .NET is just kind of this nice platform like the JVM, whether it's kind of some all-conquering evil attempt to own the world from Microsoft. And, you know, Miguel de Icaza is busy helping them. If you think that, which some people
Miguel
do.
De Iguana it should be. Never mind.
Especially now he works with Susie, so owner's novel. Novel.
Miguel de...
Fucking novel. Shut up.
Miguel de Gecko. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of... Yeah, you know, it depends whether this question is syntactically in terms of languages or in terms of, like you say, the whole environment. Because, yeah, I mean, there's not like a .NET kind of...
I don't think there's a good language on Microsoft. VB shit.
Python.
Well, I mean... A Microsoft type
like,
language.
Yeah, specific.
There are no Microsoft languages apart from Visual Basic.
Well, Visual Basic
is shit.
Oh, yeah, C#. I'll give you C#, yeah.
I haven't looked at C#, so I can't comment. But VB is just a fucking way of building an interface and then nailing some fucking code to the wall.
Pseudocode.
No. Python is pseudocode. Just it works.
Yeah, it runs.
Here
what
we
else
go.
Is there? The Python.
The Python 2, start again.
Right, can I, for a start...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really see that much. I don't see, like, Linux as kind of sufficiently ahead or sufficiently behind Microsoft. I think there's more choice with Linux. That's the difference, you know. And with Microsoft, you're tied into their way of doing things.
Exactly. I mean, I think one of the vaguely interesting things about it is that pretty much every Linux language you might want to program in, you could do on Windows as well if you want to.
Yeah.
So if you're working in a Windows environment, you can still use Perl, you can still use Python, you can still use... Ruby or Lua or Tickle if you want.
Yeah,
if you're a fucking nutcase. Knifeful? Did anyone actually use that? I thought it was like brain fuck. You know, someone had kind of made it up.
Well, I think it was invented to teach languages to people who got no fucking brain. You know, like lobotomies.
Logo.
Logo's
for turtle
thing.
That's quality.
Assons, yeah.
Lobotomy.sourceforge.net. This language is for people who don't have a brain. Or have the brain removed.
Or frontal lobe.
So, yeah,
frontal lobe.
Sourceforge.net. For another project. Apparently this time I'm going to use too much bandwidth.
This project has made no releases. Oh, like every other SourceForge project.
Yeah, imagine
the
my
guy,
fucking
the
shot.
Guy who turned me down, right, his user fucking account, SourceForge, is more than 500,000. In fact, it's nearly 600,000. Higher than mine.
Why did you get turned down?
Why did you want to be part of SourceForge?
Yeah, what was your
this
project?
Week, I can't talk about it.
because he hasn't got a project that, you know, no one's done any work on since 2001. Like on the other
no,
one.
I tried to release some documentation on there last year and I turned down. It's not in the public interest. Fuck off.
This project has not uploaded a homepage.
I don't see the point. Why do you need SourceForge? I mean...
Just like, do it on your website.
Just do it.
Yeah,
what did their bandwidth?
What
did their bandwidth?
Yeah, but their bandwidth is slow
Yeah,
anyway.
But they told me off. They said, no, you'd use too much of it. Fuck
off. So your project is so good that people are going to be downloading it left, right and centre? What is it?
If one person... it was going to be a Nopix fucking distribution...
Oh, right. I thought it was going to be a mini Spark that you put in your desktop.
Hey, that would be quality.
You can do
the BBC did a mini John Motson.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of
you make you walk around eat an icon every now and again.
You go around eating your windows and eventually just eat your entire
project for Lug Radio listeners, right? We will provide you, if you're interested, with a picture of Sparks. You have to implement a mini cartoon Sparks that eats icons on your desktop.
Just
that would be brilliant. We'll put it on the mirrors if someone actually writes it. That'd be fantastic.
Just to give you a head start, GTK allows you to do shaped windows.
So, and you have to write it in GTK and not Qt.
Should be.
Oh, God.
Otherwise, it doesn't count.
And in Python.
You have to write in Python GTK.
Yeah, and you've got to write it on your PCs, haven't you, as well, you fucking
Actually,
talents.
They're not touching my PC.
If you want to use PyRox rather than PyGTK, just so you can drop cookies and stuff and I'll eat them.
Right, okay, let's move on.
Right, next question.
All right, there's loads of free... that's a response to that. Okay, this is from Mr. Ben.
One N.
I will be interested to hear what you thought the biggest hurdle to Linux on the desktop is out of the following list. Right, we'll go through each one. Usability. Do you think...
No.
For general day-to-day use, there isn't a problem.
I don't think there's
It's problem setting up, but you only got to set it up once. Same as Windows. I mean, Windows is a pain in your setup, but just people don't have to do it, so that's not the problem.
I suppose it depends on whether it's usability.
You're about to start Windows 2000 for the first time, and blah, blah, blah.
Is it usability in terms of the entire system and like setting up devices and stuff, or just in terms of using it for productivity?
You're only doing this, so I'm going to mention Project Utopia again.
No, it's just one fascinating fact.
That is in the future, though, isn't it? So we're talking about the present day.
It's now in terms of general usability, it's as good, if not better. As
I prefer using GNOME or KDE than I do using Explorer on Windows.
I'll be honest with you, I mean, I think there are a fair few people who say, no, Linux is not quite as usable as Windows is for setting things up or whatever. But it's not so far behind that that's the reason that it hasn't made it.
And it's getting better every day. That's the thing we're going to be... And one thing that I always say to people when we're talking about usability and things like that is if you look at the space of development between, let's say, when Microsoft started developing Windows and their first usable version of Windows came out, and the same thing with Apple.
Yeah.
It was a vast amount of time compared to the amount of progress that has been made with
Windows advocate in the world is going, that's because they're just copying our fucking idea
let's face it, it was Xerox who came up with it all.
Well, exactly, yeah. And then Apple did it, and then Microsoft copied them,
and then KDE
copied Windows.
And Microsoft took 10 years to copy them.
And Noam at least had the decency to skip a couple of steps and just copy the Mac OS directly. So,
what decency?
Quick point about usability, I'll just mention something. I saw a news board check ago, I think it was, a guy talking about how usable Linux is on the desktop because his 4-year-old granddaughter can use it to look at the Sesame Street website.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, no, you missed the point, because I could...
Use Sesame Street?
To go to a website and click on an icon. That's not a problem. I could do it on Windows, I could do it on Mac OS, it doesn't matter. The point is that with... Where Linux may fall down for a 4-year-old or anyone else is when you want to start doing things like, and I keep going on about it, but set up Samba shares or something like
that. Hang on, You haven't got children, have you, Matt? Because me and I can look at each other and think, fucking hell, our kids don't set up Samba shares. I wish they would, because the missus is always trying to get me to make her win.
Exactly, if Dave could do it, I wouldn't have to. That'd be excellent. Yeah, I mean, I mean, my daughter, she is 4. But she was quite happily using her machine when she was 3 and even 2.5, and she could use websites and things. I'd show her how to do it once, and then she'd be fine.
Yes, but that's not what I'm trying to say. Is people going, hey, my grandma can use Linux. Whoopee-doo. No, that's not the issue, because you went along and sysadmined for your grandma.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
it's not fulling,
when Linux will be really usable for normal people.
Sort of
don't
go and find a bloke on the street, right, who will probably use Windows, because pretty much everyone has to use a computer these days, and most computers will be Windows, and say, could you please set up a network share? And he'll go, what's a network? I don't think most people know what share is. Learn how to fucking set one up.
Yeah, but I think the point that Matt's making is valid, is that it's good usability within isolation. Like, when the system's set up, it works well. And I think that, in many ways, is possibly the point of the... I mean, I didn't read the article, but I think it should be specified that, let's say, you know, GNOME's really easy to use because my granddaughter could use it or whatever. That's great, but the granddaughter could not set up the entire system, which is what Ak is saying.
Not that you'd expect a 4-year-old to be able to, but my point is that we shouldn't constantly go on about, oh, is this year of the desktop for Linux, when basically
Frank Sidebottom again?
No, that's Frank Sidebottom. You know, we should be looking at it's going to be gradual, and it's not a case of, oh, well, my granddaughter can do one thing, or my aunt Maud can do this other thing on Linux. The whole system's got to be as cool as possible.
I completely don't agree with you, because I think 95% of the people using Windows couldn't set up Windows either. The point is, they don't have to, because they buy a computer and it's already on it.
Because half the world drives a Ford Fiesta doesn't mean that you shouldn't strive to make a Ferrari.
No, I'm not disputing that at all. And we do need to fix the installer, but it's not a critical point. Linux was installed,
installation isn't a problem anymore.
If Linux was installed on 95% of computers that were sold, then no one would have to worry about this kind of thing. I mean, you could concentrate on it, but at the moment, you've got to get people over the hurdle of getting Linux installed before they could even discover how usable something is.
It's not comparable, the two cases, because it's a case of the Linux installation was there and set up. And if it was a Linux installation that's there and set up, and there's a Windows installation that's there and set up, and you're going on the web to look at the Sesame Street website, then yeah, I believe that the same person could do it as equally as well. But it's a bugger setting up networking on Windows, and it's a bugger setting up networking on Linux. If you don't know, if you don't know anything about networking, tell me about it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this isn't going to be the era of the desktop until people can mount their floppy disk drives transparently, and until people can set up fonts easily, until people can launch applications and they look the same and act the same and operate the same. There's a lot of work to
and
be
done. And the clipboard works across all applications.
There is problems with the desktop, but the thing about the desktop is that because this is open source, it's, everything's being worked on. There's active...
And I love it.
That's the thing about that doesn't happen with commercial software, is that you can file a request, but it won't get listened to unless there's sufficient customer demand for it.
Well, money.
Yeah. Now, with the free software community, so long as you know, the thing that pisses me off is there's a lot of people go around saying Linux is great, Linux is great, Linux is great, when they kind of ignore the bits which aren't so great. And the bits that aren't so great don't get fixed.
We need to give chicken pox or crabs to people so they scratch their own itches.
So, right, yeah, so we're going to make Linux better by going around infecting people with crabs.
Yeah, that's
or scabies. Scabies.
Get a Linux disk, free pubic lice.
Well, this is I did my point when I was a teenager, or whatever, spreading these things as much as possible.
You did your bit, didn't you?
I did my bit.
So, should we pass
the torch on to drink?
Weren't there some other things that we had to, like...
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first one.
Okay,
Microsoft file formats. I think they're getting better.
Not so much of a problem these days.
No, I mean, I think there's a certain amount of inclination against using other stuff because people assume that it won't work. But pretty much anyone who thinks, I intend to exchange documents with people who use Word, but I don't want to use Microsoft Word, finds that they can use OpenOffice and it's not really a problem.
Yeah, and of course, RTF is generally fairly flexible.
But the real issue these days is with really complicated Excel formulas and when you start putting VBScript into things. That's when the issues start becoming a problem. But that's not so much MS file format incompatibility, that's just Microsoft bloat, basically.
I don't know. I mean... because some of the stuff people do with Excel is really cool. In the same way that at work, for instance, we couldn't switch to using OpenOffice because we've got a lot of time and effort invested in developing a system on top of Word. And documents are really important to us because we're a legal firm.
Mm.
You know, so we couldn't switch. But it's not the file format that's the problem particularly. It's that the thing we'd be switching to isn't Word, and therefore we'd have to retrain everybody.
Yeah, and the other thing, of course, is that there's bits in Word that just aren't there in OpenOffice.
Yeah.
So the file format just can't reproduce it because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, again, it's like, you know, for the average Joe who wants to write a letter, OpenOffice is great.
Yeah.
For people who have fairly, you know, impressive requirements for an Office suite, OpenOffice is great. But for someone like Axe Firm, which have got incredibly complex requirements for Word, it's a different matter.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, maybe OpenOffice would be good because you know, they could get into the source code and.
But anyway, the point is that it would be good if they had it five years ago before they invested time.
All right, number three: dependency on Windows-only applications.
I don't think there are that.
It's not an issue for me,
with the notable exception of Microsoft Exchange, which you mentioned last week. Yeah, but you got to pay money for it.
Yeah, but if you
have to pay money for Exchange. Outlook or Exchanges.
Well, yeah, but if you say to people, do you want to switch? Then you go, okay, but we've then got to go out and buy the Zimian connector for every fucking machine on our network. So are you prepared to invest?
You only have to buy it once, don't you?
Your new machines. But I don't think you just buy it once, then as many people as you like can use it.
I don't know,
to be honest. It's per seat licensed, I think.
And it's not that expensive, is it?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Anyway, the point is that it would be useful maybe if they were putting a new set of desktops in rather than replacing existing ones, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they give you something like, I don't know, something better.
All right. What about the reluctance of hardware manufacturers to make Linux drivers?
Well, yeah, that is an issue. Let's go back to Wi-Fi. There is Prism54.org and similar things that are trying to create drivers for Wi-Fi, but I've never managed to get a Wi-Fi card working.
Here I am not agreeing with you again, right?
I didn't say anything to not be agreeing.
I've got an Atmel card. It's actually an ActionTech card, but it's Atmel under the covers. Yeah. And Atmel released some drivers. They GPL'd them and everything. And I can't get them to install, but that's not Atmel's fault, I don't think. Part of the problem is if you say to a hardware manufacturer, you say to a hardware manufacturer, why aren't you releasing drivers for Linux? And they go, which Linux? You know, if you've got a hardware driver, how the hell do you install it? If you're on Debian, if you're on SUSE, you're on Red Hat, they'll all be different.
The thing is, though, is that, to be fair, again, like, not trying to become the middleman again between you two arguing Nancy's.
Lucky Pierre.
yeah.
He's lucky at cards as well.
The thing here, of course, is that Acuse is Debian, and Debian is, you know, it's a bit of a hacker's distribution. You generally have to get stuff working yourself. Most people are using Debian, used to compiling source code, used to doing that kind of stuff. The average Mandrake user doesn't want to do that kind
of
thing.
No,
and,
of course
and they
not.
Should have modules available that are pre-compiled that you just simply load in. This is, again, the problem with distributions, you know.
I use Debian. I want things to be nice and easy.
But the,
I want to go apt-get install yeah, Wi-Fi driver.
To be fair, this
apt-get
is... this
install Atmel WLAN driver.
This is something that me and Ack have discussed many times, is that Debian should really be there to base other distributions on. You should be able to use it as a core set of technologies. Mm. And then, like...
That'd be cool if there was a good free distribution that gave the user-friendliness of something like Mandrake,
yeah,
but was Debian-based.
It doesn't exist. That's the thing. That's what I've been looking for years.
People are trying to make it easy for things like Knoppix and Mepis and stuff like that. I mean, part of the problem is if you look at, say, back to my Atmel card again, you can do apt-get install Atmel WLAN driver dash source, but it's supplied as source because it's a kernel module, and they can't supply a kernel module as a compiled binary that you could just install, because they need to supply a kernel module for every possible kernel.
So, can
and so they don't do it.
Ask a quick question. The only time I've ever compiled the kernel was when I was installing Gen 2, which isn't exactly the same as doing it normally. So would that mean that you'd have to sit there and go through all the options on your kernel when you're compiling it just to get your WLAN drivers working?
Sort of. You don't actually have to have compiled your own kernel. You just you load this module and then it compiles it against the kernel source. But you've got to have the kernel source.
Apt-get there kernel headers.
To do it. No, it doesn't work if you do it against the headers. I fucking thought of that. Got to have the source. No.
The thing is, though, is that I was thinking about this. Debian is an incredible kind of distributed operating system in the sense of, you know, they upload source to these build servers and then the servers go away and build the applications automatically, the binaries, which are then packaged up by the maintainer. Now, I don't see why, obviously there's limitations in terms of resources with Debian, I don't see why they can't build against the different kernel.
Space.
Yeah. Space.
Is basically the reason.
Is that the reason?
If you think about it, there are, I think, something like 15 or so different kernel images in Debian. Yeah? And there are 20 or so kernel modules you can download. I mean, there used to be things like ALSA before we integrated 2.6, and there's the Atmel WLAN drivers and loads of others, you know. So they'd need, for each one of those 20, they'd need 15 binary builds.
This sounds like an argument for the herd.
On each of 11 different architectures.
Yeah, but I don't think space is an issue. Put it this way, right? If we...
Space is an issue!
If we as Lug Radio can get the amount of mirrors that we've had, and we just talk about random shite on this sort of show, you know, I don't see why Debian can't supply space to Debian.
Because every time someone uploads some source, every auto builder has to build that source on each of 11 or 12 different architectures, and then it has to be replicated to all the mirrors. It's not disk space, it's network bandwidth, exchanging all the data between those mirrors.
I don't see that as being the reason. I see the reason why this isn't happening is because there's not enough maintainers to do it. That's the reason why I see it.
They've got 4,000 maintainers or something.
Why isn't it happening then? They've got shitloads of bandwidth. They've got shitloads of disk space.
They haven't really.
Yes, they have.
Go and install Debian now. Go and install Woody, right? And then the kernel that you get now, right? The source for that isn't on the mirrors anymore. Because it's got that many fucking bugs and shit.
I think the reason...
There's about five new ones.
I think the reason...
As an additional point, if they supplied built kernel modules, yeah, those built kernel modules would still only work if you were running a stock Debian kernel.
Yeah.
As soon as you compiled your own kernel, suddenly they wouldn't work. You'd have to compile this module as well.
I was just about to say, this is one of the reasons as well why I think it doesn't happen is because, probably the first thing, when you install Debian, when you get it all set up, you've installed everything. I'd imagine every single Debian user, with relative exceptions, compile their own kernels. They compile their own kernels. They get the source code, probably out of Debian. They make a kernel package. They do it all the Debian way, and they compile a kernel. They don't use stock kernels. Stock kernels in Debian are just to get a system up and running. I never, ever keep a stock kernel in Debian.
My laptop's got a stock kernel, so I can't be arsed compiling a kernel.
Yeah, but I reckon most people who are using Debian, with relative exceptions, you know, I'm not saying it's everyone, will do that. this is where it's different from Mandrake. Mandrake, you know, people rely on the binaries.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a different ballgame.
We've got Mandrake question. News as well today. Mandrake 10 is actually out properly now.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah, so tomorrow I can slag it off and people won't say, don't slag it off, it's a beta.
hang on, it's out today.
Out today, apparently.
Right, so at the end of this, slag off Mandrake.
Can I just ask a quick question? To me, this sounds like there's no hope. Then, you know, it will always be bloody hard to set stuff up.
No, it won't, because scripts and stuff will get built to make it easier for you to set it up yourself.
I mean, okay. They are so getting easier. What I would really like to see happen more than almost anything else is for a fucking module compiled against a 2.6.1 kernel to be able to be inserted in a 2.6.5 kernel and work.
You can module
version. Nah, see, but the mod versions thing obviously doesn't work, otherwise everyone would fucking use it.
I used 2.2.0 stuff in 2.2.20.
You know, but if it worked, yeah, then Debian would use it. I am convinced that if it worked properly,
quite a few warnings saying it's probably not going to work.
So
if it worked, Debian would use it. So everything that works, Debian uses.
No, since they're doing something to do with kernel modules, I can't believe no one in all the vast array of talent and intelligence that is the Debian project didn't go, what about this config mod version stuff? Why don't we use that? Because presumably someone did say that, and all the rest of them went, no, you can't do that for this big long list of technical reasons I'm not even going to fucking understand. So there must be reasons. Otherwise, they'd be doing it. It'd make their lives easier.
Stuff, you know, like the NVIDIA drives and stuff work.
It's my handy existence proof for why mod versions is bollocks.
Yeah, stuff like the NVIDIA stuff works.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on, because we've ranted on that for ages.
Yeah, sorry.
All right? Once again. Lack of games.
There are tons of games.
Frozen Bubble.
X-Cools.
Frozen Bubble.
Unreal Tournament, which I read a review of in Linux format today.
Or grow up.
And actually, if you look at Linux, if you look at you got the little hangman thing in my signature. If you look at Linux Game Tome, there are tons of games, and some of them are actually quite like real games. I don't know whether that means lack of ports of all the important games that your mates are playing in the playground, like The Sims. But whatever, fucking grow up. Yeah.
Win City. Yeah. No, sorry, Lin City.
Lin City.
I don't think games are going to really. I mean, no. We've seen the whole Loki debacle that happened. I don't think games are going to happen until Linux is well established on the desktop.
I wish Simutrans was free.
Hmm? The what?
Simutrans, which is a great game, just it's non-free.
Plus, whatever.
So
I mean,
I feel like upset if everybody stole it on Debian. I'm like, I'm polluting my system.
What about virtual RMS thing comes out on Windows? If you want games, go and buy a fucking GameCube.
Yeah.
You know, they're cheaper and they're easier to use. And they never,
Linux.
ever crash.
That's wrong, actually. They crash quite a lot.
What?
GameCube.
A console crashed?
Yeah. It crashed, in
fact. Right, buy a fucking PS2, then.
No, they crash as well.
I've crashed PS2.
Consoles aren't supposed to be able to crash.
They do.
They're just a computer like any other, aren't they?
That's
to be fair, all you have to do to make them work is press the reset button and it starts again. It doesn't have to check its hard drives.
All right, and the last one.
Next question.
The last one is lack of awareness.
Which is going to be always the problem, isn't it?
The big problem. But it's being worked on. If people just...
Stand in the screen with a billboard and shout at people, Linux, Linux, Linux. If I was going to think you tried 2.6, I'm going to think you're talking about like David 2.6, Psalm 11 or whatever.
The thing is here, right, is if I could say anything to everyone who's thinking about doing any form of usability here, is instead of going on the internet and ranting about how great Linux is to people who use Linux, go and speak to people face-to-face. People are only going to take this on if people see it happening in front of them.
Can I just add that it doesn't mean you go and talk to people and say, yes, Lilith is lovely, I love Linux.
Oh, another voice.
Yeah, new voice.
Right, you don't do that.
That's Matt's raging fucking paedophile voice, but it's new voice nonetheless.
That's my... No, don't do that. Go at...
Or at least make it big enough to handle.
No, I wasn't talking about what you were saying. don't go up to people and say, oh, I love Linux, it's lovely. Go along and say to people, in this case, you can do this with Linux and it will save you this much. Or you can do this with Linux and it's better because, you know, I was talking to Jono off air about...
Off air? Fucking hell, who are we? Capital Radio?
Hang on, how the fuck are we doing that? What were you breathing? what modulated when he spoke? If there was no air, nothing had happened. He's gone.
Nah. Nah, what he meant to say was talking to Jono when they were having an affair.
Anyway, we're having a chat about advocacy.
Jono's got hair.
Oh, shut up.
When did this happen?
Only pubic hair.
We were talking about
don't
advocacy.
Even rely on that.
Is it going
it's
great?
Not, it's right, not
can we leave
anymore.
My pubic hair out of this? Carry
have
on.
Have you
that.
Got a widow's peak? That never mind.
Clear wrong way. Carry on,
mate. Don't matter. No, we're talking about advocacy, and basically the thing is you've got to be really sophisticated because people are not just going to sit down and go, oh, right, you mean there's this thing called Linux that I could use? You've got to give people real good reasons. You've got to employ the same sort of tactics that everyone else, all the other businesses and everyone else uses to try and get you to do things.
Yeah, I mean,
so what you do is you set up an email service, check all their emails, and then send them the targeted advert saying use Linux to do this.
Which, of course, Google will sell you.
Yeah.
I think
it's quite reasonable.
I don't think there's any excuse.
Pick your own price.
Now we've got all these various live CDs that are really good quality, you know. I mean, Clopix is great and all the rest of them.
Me, I don't see why
you can't take a CD with you and say to your boss or say to someone, you know, this look at this. You know, I mean, did you hear like people are using Clopix CDs to test PCs when they go to PC World?
Yeah, no, it's a good
you
idea.
Know, to see if they're working. But and it's really? That kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing we need. I don't see any excuse. I don't see the point in writing document after document.
On the other hand, I think that was a brilliant idea. And a guy who works for me, I went on and on and on at him, use Linux. And eventually I said, look, go and download Gnopix, yeah? Because I like GNOME rather than KDE. So I pushed him in the direction of Gnopix rather than Canopix. And I said, all you got to do is drop the CD in and reboot your machine. How fucking hard is that? You know, it'll take you 2 seconds. You just got to go to he'd already burned the CD. And I said, just drop the CD in, turn the computer off, turn it back on again. That's it. Now, his machine is all brand new because he just buys stuff. I think I pay him too much money, to be frank. Because he just buys stuff all the time.
You don't pay anyone money, you lying shit.
Well, I've awarded him too much money then, if you like.
You mean you've just... one-to-ones with him?
you mean you've just rechanneled the people who pay you money to pay him? Right,
yeah.
Carry on.
Why am I getting shit about this?
I think I pay him too much money.
Absolutely.
Because I'm driving around in my Ferrari and wearing a gold hat.
Yeah. God, he drives around in a pretend Ferrari.
Fuck off, pretend Ferrari. My car's fast.
I'm driving around in my Fiat pretend banana.
Anyway, so you're making a serious point about Gnopix and this man.
Oh, yeah, right? But his machine's all serial ATA and shit like that. So Gnopix didn't even start up. So I said, try it in your other machine. And that one didn't start up either. So, I'm not sure what to do from there.
Yeah, I mean...
So, I can't say, I'll come round your house and install Debian for you. So
that definitely won't start up.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously... the thing is, though, is I suppose instead of sort of saying, you know, this will definitely work, you just give them the CD and say, you know, check this out, it's probably going to work for you. But you
is
know.
That yeah. not worse? Isn't it worse that they never... isn't it better that they never see Linux until it will work? Put it in their driver and it goes...
But you can't guarantee it's going to work every time.
But that's my problem. I've now kind of tarnished the whole plan. Because next, if I go back to him and say, look, you need to use Linux, it's got all this good stuff. He'll say, yeah, but I tried it. And it wouldn't even start up on my machine. Whereas Windows, I just drop the CD in and it installed.
And the point is that he's got a system that works and does what he wants. So what are you going to say to him then?
Yeah, the bloke was reasonably okay in terms of trying the thing. I mean, he's a fairly Windows-centric guy, but he's quite open to trying other stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, Linux didn't even start up. And if Gnopix didn't start up, then there's no way anything else he does is gonna start up to a point where he can do anything with it. Debian would probably boot, but what the fuck good is that? He'd have to walk through the installer.
Yeah.
He's a novice guy.
I suppose this is the problem, though, isn't it? Is that obviously with this software, until we start getting, you know, defined hardware support from people, then, you know, we're going to encounter this problem. And of course...
Which brings me on to Evolution Hardware. Is it Evolution? Are they the people who are building Linux-specific hardware? And now they've got their own Debian-based distribution called Ion, which basically, yeah, they're taking
Ion's
the Apple...
Ion's also a desktop manager, Apple isn't approach. It? So that's quite scary.
Well, they say that they're taking the Apple approach, where they're trying to bind the hardware as closely as possible to the software, so they know exactly what the hardware is, and they make sure that their Debian-based distro Ion works perfectly and beautifully with their software.
All right.
And they've got one of the Licorice guys on board now.
Licorice? Bertie Bassett?
You mean Licorice?
Licorice, man, come on.
No, licorice is what you get in them fucking bags of sherbet.
Why does anyone have to say it Licorice? I mean, how... You know, shall I say that your name is Jono Or,
Jonah. It's not Jonah.
The, my name is Matahu.
Licorice.
Which side of the chocolate factory do you live?
The wrong side.
All right. Right, we got one more question, I think.
Was there? Right, okay, question.
Let's shoot through this one. This is...
Pion.
Hang on.
Do you think certification is worthwhile?
No.
From Schwack.
Yes. No. No, I don't. Next question.
The only thing certification's good for is if you're planning on leaving your current employer, get them to pay for your certification to help you find your next one. It's the only time anyone should ever consider certification.
I think certification's good so long
as it's good if you're selling certification. I'm probably going to upset Justin on all I'm saying this.
Certification's good if the certification's good. You know, it's a case of...
meaningless statements are meaningless.
Yeah, sorry, I know. You're obviously rubbing off on me.
I understand what you mean. Fuck off.
No, I mean the thing
then
is.
Believe me,
I'd love the chance to rub off on you, but I'm afraid
well, you
not
know,
to be.
We're all sleeping in the same room at the expo, aren't we? Man, oh man.
Oh man, oh man.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man.
I'm slightly concerned now.
You will be concerned when you're
I've
in
never
a,
seen
at
a
bacon
big...
sandwich.
Then I'll be lucky, Pierre.
Act naked. Looks like Art of Garfunkel's wearing a false nose.
Thank you.
We share something in common then.
Oh, the worst thing is seeing the false face nose. Pressed against a window. That's anyway.
Pressed against a window.
How did we get here from certification exactly?
Yeah.
It was bollocks, and we were talking about your bollocks, weren't we?
Last fortnight we did a feature called Room 404. Just to go over it, basically the idea was that you could put...
Well, no, don't go over it. Let them download it.
Go and download
Slackers.
It. And do
it's
what it
free.
Is.
Slackers. No, come on.
No, sorry, Matt.
Carry on, Matt. Sorry.
He's looking really peeved.
No, seriously. Basically the idea was that you took a bit of software and dumped it forever. And... I just did a real Alan Partridge style head movement there. And I was just really conscious of it.
Aha, software, forever, gone.
Anyway.
Actually, no, I turned into thinking it.
Anyway.
Oh, dear.
We all did ours, apart from Ack, who said he wanted to dump KDE. Now,
for which I received a certain amount of abuse, I want to point out. And I've had to wait 2 weeks in a penury of hatred from my fellow Linux users.
And it's been
before
all,
I could justify
it's all been pent up. It's been backed up with KDE hatred for 2 weeks now.
I've been backed up with KDE hatred for considerably longer. Two weeks.
And we're gonna give him a little bit of encouragement to spew forth on why he doesn't like
not me. I'm in your general direction
on the microphone as to why he doesn't like KDE. Oh, and, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, so I was waiting for a further point.
A big build-up.
Well, no, what I was going to say was, basically, if you would like to do your own Room 404, or you want to do your own Desert Island Discs, where you say which bits of software you would take to a desert island, etc., then record them to an OGG file, or a WAV, and then encode it to an OGG, and... put it on the web somewhere. Send us a link. Do not please send us the file because it will kill our servers. And we will go along and listen to it. And if it's any good, we'll put it in the show.
You've also got to make sure that the voice sort of varies in volume and the music's way too loud.
Yep. And that there's monkey screeching and random dog noises.
Yeah,
and
every so often you go, fuck off!
And if occasionally...
Absolutely.
If occasionally you could good just Lord, stop though. Talking for 5 or 10 seconds just so we can, you know, insert a piss-taking comment, that would also be marvellous. Yeah.
Could you say your KD thing in the impression of Matt, please?
No. Just to make you've done an impression of me?
No!
Yeah, you did.
Fuck really? Off, no, I didn't!
Go on, do it.
No, really, I didn't.
No, you didn't, oh. I'm just bullshitting.
Don't just drop me in shit for this.
Have a go doing the impression of Matt.
No, really not good at impressions. Sorry to disappoint you.
No, really not good at impressions. No.
Good Lord.
Thank you.
Back off. Good Lord.
Back off. Goodness gracious me.
404.
Actually, Aki, if you could do a foppish English twat for a while. That's
for
ginger.
A while.
Okay, come on, Master Ginger.
I'm not foppish, am I? Oh,
Faye.
No. Oh my god, I'm not floppy!
Oh, bloody hell!
Oh, I'm really sad about this.
All right,
now.
Come on then.
Johnson,
give us your KD runs.
I'm foppish. I'm going to jump out of a window.
Okay, okay. I take it back, Ack. Obviously, not all of it. You're still a ginger swat, but if you like to
take it back, I take it back, Ack, sack and whack. Okay, go on.
Right, oh, okay. Yeah, see, important point number one. Earlier when I said that I hate KDE, it was a big lie. This is not about not liking KDE at all, as I will get on to explain. But one of the things which... One of the things I like about Linux is that you've got a choice of different kinds of environment. Which, no fucking accordion music. I'm trying to concentrate here.
Why has this been added to the show?
No! No, John has an accordion. Where is me?
That won't do well on the speaks format.
All right, go on, Karen.
Shut the fuck up. Right, so I like the fact that there are kind of different environments. You've got different window managers and things like that. But what concerns me is that we have two major desktop environments, which we're basically pushing. If we're going to go for Linux on the desktop, so we're not going for people who are Linux hackers who are going to use Fluxbox or Blackbox or some kind of low spec window manager or some window manager you can only control with the F keys.
MWM.
Or some MWM, exactly.
Quality.
You know, some bloke goes, oh, geez, I need a window manager which you can run off the numeric keypad with no mouse. I mean, it's going to be out there somewhere and some guy's going to use it. But it's not part of the whole kind of let's get Linux on the desktop for people thing. So at the moment, you've got KDE and GNOME. And I think we're splitting the effort severely by doing that.
Completely. I completely agree.
So, now I think that you've got things like the Free Desktop Initiative are helping somewhat, but a lot of what the Free Desktop Initiative is doing is trying to interface in between KDE and GNOME. And I think if you made one of them go away, you wouldn't need a project to sit in the middle and interface between the two major desktop environments because there'd be one desktop environment.
But it'll never happen, will it?
Hang on, right? I don't think Microsoft are ever going to fucking dump Exchange either, but you picked that as your room for thing. They're going to go, bollocks, Jono doesn't like it. Shut it down.
Bollocks, Jono, who's never bought, apart from Cubase, doesn't buy a lot of software.
Yeah. I didn't buy Cubase. Bitch, I got it sent to me.
Net. So what's the issue? What's the
right
answer?
So I think...
Blue Curve?
I think we're... No. You only said that to annoy me.
I thought you were going
to
say it was going to be rocks.
No. I think that we should lose either KDE or GNOME, because the KDE guys and the GNOME guys are really, really, really talented guys. Right? But I think the major things that stand in the way of Linux adoption are things that the GNOME people are treating more than the KDE people are. If you look at things like, I'm going to say it again, Project Utopia, but that sort of issue, the sort of things that the Free Desktop people are doing,
Robert, I love you.
I know, brilliant. His name's even Love, you know, it's quite convenient. But
if
you look at
Love is a wondrous thing.
Shut the fuck up.
It was love ransom is in love.
What?
It was ransom love.
It was last time he paid for it, I think.
Oh. No, he ran
he had sex and HP.
Didn't he run SCO or
it was
something?
Caldera.
All right.
I think it was.
His name was Ransom Love.
Yeah. Imagine calling your child Ransom.
Oh, my God, that's appalling.
Anyway, come on.
Right. So, I would love to see the KDE guys and the GNOME guys concentrate on the same thing. It would be stupid to make them concentrate on a completely different thing, something that doesn't exist at the moment. So, therefore, they should either all concentrate on KDE or all concentrate on GNOME. And I think the GNOME people are doing better in the areas where Linux is going to need to improve the most. Things like automatic hardware detection and stuff when you plug it in. Things like usability issues. Now, I'm not saying that the KDE people don't care about usability. Not at all. There's usability.kde.org. They've got their own human interface guidelines, all this kind of thing. But it seems to me the GNOME people are either concentrating on it more, or they're getting more buy-in into that sort of area, or they're just doing better at it. So to my mind, if you've got to kill one or the other, you should kill KDE and get all the KDE guys, who are all, again, really talented, really clever guys,
not all
to work
them,
on
surely.
That.
The majority of them, but there's one or two assholes in every project.
Well, yeah.
you can lose, though, is a long way, can't we?
In general, I mean, KDE is by no means a shit thing.
But don't you think you should... obviously, you know, I know that you prefer GNOME over KDE, and I prefer KDE over GNOME, but... Don't you think that you should ditch, in this ideal world that would never happen, that you should ditch GNOME because, from the looks of things, there's a lot more people seem to use KDE than GNOME.
Yeah, but then you've got Sun who are putting all
not
the money
on the
into
desktop.
GNOME.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why can't you have GNOME DE, GNOME? merge them.
But that's the point. That's what things like the free desktop thing is trying to do. But I don't know how far.
No, that's trying to make them work in a similar way.
Together, but what's the distinction?
To merge them.
I don't think you could merge them because they've got independent, different implementations of a lot of the stuff.
Right.
If you look at, say, the sound server, GNOME has got ESD, KDE has got ARTS. If you look at communication between applications, GNOME has got Bonobo and Orb and stuff like that, and KDE has got DCOP.
I think the problem is...
If you junk one thing and don't junk the other, essentially you're going to have to junk all the KDE stuff or junk all the GNOME stuff, or have this weird mixture of the two, and the mixture would be weird, I think.
Yeah, but...
Proof, though. I say it's weird, therefore it's weird, and we shouldn't do it.
I think the problem here is that there's so much happened with KDE and GNOME. First of all, it's never going to happen. We all know that, right? Now, in terms of the free desktop thing... Because I believe that some of the stuff that they are developing can be shared between, for example, a lot of it's at toolkit level.
Well, they just say stuff like icons go here. And
yeah, I mean, there's stuff like
icons there.
Yeah, and like the fonts directory in your home directory and things such as that.
There
are some harder things. Undoubtedly, I know that like we've discussed this before and you've said like about usability, like button placement on dialogues and things such as that. And these are issues that can't necessarily be programmatically solved at the toolkit level, where it's all handled for you when you just use the GTK or Qt API.
Hello, this is the Stormont American Army here.
Just like most wars, this program has to come to an end now, so we're going to...
What the fuck was that?
Most wars are going to end there. That's fucking brilliant news. Found Palestinians, tell them they can all go home tonight, because there's not going to be a fucking bomb through the roof.
And more importantly, I didn't realise the First World War was still going. So excellent news that it's going to turn out now.
Brilliant news for the Crimea. Everyone in Sebastopol, come out of here.
Florence Nightingale probably really wants to go home, to be honest with you.
Did you have a point?
This has happened twice to Matt now.
I'm just saying that's the end of Lug Radio episode five.
Episode five.
We're going to be
like virginity comes to an end tonight.
We're going to be in. We're going to be in London next week at the Kensington Olympia, which is in Kensington in Olympia. we're going to be there.
Matt Wise,
dodging around.
Will be there with us.
Yeah. We're going to be there. We're going to go in, hey, yo, like that to people. Because, like,
no, I'm not. You can do that. Can you do that twice for both of us?
We're going to be going along there, saying hello to people. And we're not going to have a stand or anything. Oh, no. But you can come on forums.lugradio.org or email us at show@lugradio.org and basically tell us, hello, I'll be here, or hello, boy, I will be here. And we'll all meet up with you and say hello.
You can tell us any of those things, absolutely.
How about,
hello, boy,
Yeah. Heavy metal version?
Yeah.
Hello, bio. Satan.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah. No, be Natas.
Satan, yeah. I can sing Jingle Bells backwards.
Jingle Bells, Batman's...
Satanist.
Elglish Laura. Anyway.
The thing is there, people can now turn it around and say, no, you're not. It's fucking shit.
Yeah, can we...
First time ever you've done that in front of a...
Can I interrupt and say a big thank you to the transcription effort that is going on.
Yeah, is there a transcription effort going on?
There is, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought you might have been taking the piss.
No. Have you seen it you put down that's funny that Axe said it was me?
I have to go and look at this. Last time I looked, I discovered that all my funny lines had gone to other people. So.
Yeah, and everything I say that's ever funny goes to Axe.
But you both not funny.
But that means that I never say anything that shit. You never say anything fucking funny. Don't credit
Fuck
me
off.
With any of his lines.
Fuck
they're all
off.
Bollocks.
Toss that.
Fat bastard.
Right. Okay.
Seriously. We've got an independent witness. How the fuck can that call somebody a fat bastard?
A wimp.
Adam decides not
I'll
to.
Do it like
Adam
this.
Chokes.
Fat bastard.
Adam just did an impression
of
Matt.
Cock.
He choked.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for listening to episode 5 of Lug Radio or Lug Radio. thanks to all our mirrors.
Lug Radio.
Thanks to Trig for hosting the forums.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone. Thanks to our mums and dads. So yeah, get along to the forums. It would be really cool to meet up with a couple of people at the expo next week in London,
it's
if you can make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone else got anything to say?
No, I just thank you as ever. Everyone's been very generous to us, and all those whining shits who think that the sound's always off, it generally is because we're recording this through drum mics.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to Drinky Man for joining us today.
Oh yeah,
thanks,
Adam. We might swear fuck off if you don't. Have you stuck it this long and it hasn't offended yet? Good fucking news.
That's right, Sparks. Put the boot in.
That's right.
And thanks to the dog out the back who's barking halfway through.
We'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yep, see you later, folks.
Bye.